We started learning the first Torah in Lukut HaMaran, Ashvis Mimei Darach, which I wanted to do, to work on for a few weeks, and then we'll come back to and continue where we left off, this discussing the childhood of Rabbi Nachman. But I wanted to learn to begin with the first Torah that's really filled with the light of Chanukah, and to get a taste of Lukut HaMaran. So we just started. Imam just started. So let's review the first sentence or two that we began with and continue. Da ki al yidei ha'Torah niskabim kol ha'tefilos v'kol ha'bakoshes shel mevakshim mispalelim. V'achein v'chashiva sheyisrael nisa'alav nisa'ar v'fnei kol mi shetzrichim. So we began to learn this Torah. Rabbi Nachman says that there is a koyach, there is something in the world that causes all of our tefillos and all of our bakoshes, all that we ask for, all that we daven for, to be answered. And Rabbi Nachman says that the chayin and the chashivah sheyisrael nisalav nisorim b'fnei kol mi shetzrichim. And he learned that when a person has chayin, that when a person's a bal chayin, that there are certain people that we learned, we spoke about this many times, there are those who have a certain natural chayin, and the way it is with a person who's b'chayin, when someone has chayin, then everybody wants to make that person happy. Everybody wants to do what that person asks. So we learned last week that the same way that when it comes to Banav L'Chavero, that you have a person who's a bal chayin, that everybody wants to give this person, and what everybody wants to be part of this person's life. So too, kivyachol, the Baruch Shalom created us in such a way where we learn v'nimtza chayin v'seichel tayv b'enul kim v'adam, means that even ayid, a person who has chayin in Hashem's eyes. So even though the person is not perfect and is far from perfect, but there's something that causes that person to have chayin, then if the person is a bachayin, then somehow, even the Baruch Shalom made it in such a way that this individual's tefillos and his bakashas are going to be accepted. If the person is bachayin. So last week we ended with the question, so is there anything that a person can do to acquire this chayin? That's what the Torah is about. Is there anything that a person can do to acquire this chayin? And once a person acquires this chayin, if this is possible, so then the likelihood of his tefillos and his bakoshes being answered by Hashem's baruch are much greater. And all of us desperately need that. So the answer to the question, Rabbi Nachman says, yeah, there is something we can do to acquire chayin. And that's what the Torah is about over here. What we can do is to learn Torah, but he's going to focus on a certain way of learning and what that means. So he says, ki achshav b'amnesein harabim. Now, because of our many sins, chayin v'chashiva samiti sheyisrael nofal. The true chayin, the true grace, the true chayin, and the chashivas of the Jewish people has fallen. And he says a shocking thing. Ki achshav now, ikar hachashivas v'hachayin hu etzlam. He says now, the main chashivas, the main chayin, is not by us, it's by them. It's by the goyim. Aval, ayideh ha-Torah nis'ala hachayin v'chashivas sheyisrael. Through Torah, the chayin and the chashivas of the Jewish people can be lifted. Ketayr and Nikres in Mishle Bifayin, the Chazal made this connection. Ketayr and Nikres Ayelas Ahavim V'Ya'alas Chayin. Torah is called a beloved doe, a graceful gazelle. Ketayr and Nikres Ayelas Ahavim V'Ya'alas Chayin. And the Gemara says Ya'alas Chayin which means this graceful animal, this beautiful animal. The Ya'alas Chain, the Gemara says, Shema Lachain Alimdeh. That when Jews learn Torah, the result of learning Torah, and again we'll see what that means exactly, but the result of learning Torah is that it's Ma'ala Chain. It lifts up the Chain. It draws out the Chain from that person. And when that person's Chain is lifted and is revealed through the study of Torah, through the chain being lifted, then this person, so to speak, finds chain in Hashem's eyes. And when the person finds chain in Hashem's eyes, then despite his shortcomings and deficiencies, once he's bachaint, the same way with the child, as we spoke about last week, that with a child, you know, the child is up to all kinds of mischief and making all kinds of problems, but the child is bachaint. And because the Baruch Shalom did that, that a child should be bachaint, else nobody would be able to deal with the child. The child is up to so much trouble and so much mischief, and the parents are constantly being challenged with all of these difficulties. But at the same time, whatever the child asks for, the child gets because of the chaim. So too, there is such an inyan in the world that the Baruch Shalom made us in such a way that through the study of Torah, which is called Ya'alas Chain, it draws out the Chain from a person, that even a person who's not quite there, who hasn't yet reached the Madrega that he's capable of, but once he has this Chain, then his tefillas on this Kablan, then somehow the Baruch Shalom can't say no to him. And the secret to this is Torah. So before we go further to understand what does he mean by this, we need to understand a few simple things. Everybody knows that in the world, everything in this world operates according to the Mahalach of Zel Umazel Aso Helikim. For everything that's in holiness, there's something that's in anti-holiness. There's something that's the opposite. So, Rabbi Nachman says here that really chayin and chashivas ha'amiti, true chayin and true chashivas belongs to the Israel, to the Jewish people. True chayin and true chashivas. Because there's something in the world that's called sheker ha'chayin. Right? Sheker ha'chayin, that someone else spoke about. There's a chayin that is sheker. There's a false chayin. Sheker ha'chayin. The chayin ha'meduma, that impersonation of chayin, or the false chayin that exists in the world, is, for instance, when Rabbi Nachman says here that this has fallen, and now the ikar chashivas v'chayin hu etzlam, so this is manifested in a million ways, that really the true chayin of the Jewish people has fallen, because we're not basic and Torah the way that we should be. And as a result of that, the chain that is really ours has fallen into that world of sheker ha-chain, ad kedei kach, that those things that are truthfully so, so ugly and so unappealing, the world sees us having chain. So all the narishkat, all the shtusim, people could, you have people, so... if you look at the athletes, so most of these people, so now I think it's football season, baseball season is already finished, so we're talking about mostly people who nobody would want to marry, to make a shidduch with any of these people. And not only would you not want to make a shidduch, you'd be afraid to meet any of these people. It's a pachad. Most of them are either ex-convicts or future convicts, and the only reason they're not convicts right now is because they're getting paid a lot of money to entertain Americans. And the whole chain that these people have, And how the world mamish is taken for a ride by the sheker hachein, or the whole entertainment industry, that people are so fakoif, they're completely taken by what, by movie stars, by actresses and actors and films, and these are the people that the children are growing up emulating. You see, heilige Yiddish akin, the Jewish children that they're trying to talk like and walk like and act like and be like. That they see in these people a chayin, And it's the craziest thing in the world. Or we have to try somehow to make Torah so exciting and so interesting because we're competing with some college course, chalila, or we're competing with something that's totally secular from the side of impurity, and we have to try to figure out a way how can we sell Torah. So we have to think of ways to produce more Torah videos and Torah this and Torah that, to try somehow to make it appealing. Because Stam, the Torah has lost, for many, it's lost its appeal, it's lost its chayim. Even though it's the most b'chayim thing on earth is a yid, and the most b'chayim thing in the world is Yiddishkeit. But because something has gone wrong, and the chayim and the chashivas of the Jewish people has fallen, so there's a klal in the Svarim HaKadoshim that when something falls, it doesn't just disappear, you understand? When something falls, it falls into the wrong hands. We've learned about this many times. There's a Torah from the Tzaddikim, Shem Yishmol, from his father, and all the Tzaddikim talk about this. The Chazal themselves were asking, were wondering, were shocked, how's it possible that Ahasuerus is making parties for 180 days and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, right? It's the craziest thing in the world. Ahasuerus is making parties for 180 days and the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins. We don't even have a mizbech to bring an offering to Hashem. And this manuvel is making parties for 180 days. How could there be such a thing? So Chazal said that they asked that the Malachi Hasharis, the Malachim were shocked. How could this be? And they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how is it that Ahasuerus is having beautiful parties and has all kinds of palaces, and Yidden are groveling in the dirt, and the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins? So the Baruch Shalom said, because Jews are mechalel Shabbos in the Galil. The Medrash is good. The Baruch Shalom answered the Malachim that Jews are not keeping Shabbos in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, the mechalel Shabbos. So the Shem Yishmol said from his father, how does that answer the question? I mean, the question is a good question. How does that answer the question? So the Avnei Nezer taught that there's a Metzias of Shabbos in the world. It's a Metzias of Shabbos. And Shabbos belongs to Klal Yisrael. Agosha Shabbos Chayiv Misa, the Gemara says. Shabbos belongs to us. The Pnimis of Shabbos is all that Shabbos is about, all that the Siddush of Shabbos is talking about, what Shabbos is. There's a certain external manifestation of Shabbos, which is what? Menucha. The Menucha is Shabbos. The Oinig Shabbos. It's part of Shabbos, but it's not the Pnimius of Shabbos. So the Avnei Nezer says that the Baruch Shalom is saying that if Jews are not keeping Shabbos, it's not pshat that Shabbos then disappears. It's that Shabbos falls into the hands of our enemies. And the Menuch and the Oinig that we're supposed to have in a Pnimiusdik way, that great peacefulness and restfulness and the delight that was created for the Jewish people, that chain of Shabbos then falls into the other side. And then our enemies are able to make parties and to relax and to have, another day off from work and to have all kinds of l'sa'anig b'tanugim. But the tanugim of Sheker. There's a klal that when something falls, it doesn't disappear, it falls into misuse. Chalila falls into the other side. So Menachem is saying that the chayin and the chashivas is shel Yisrael. Really, all chayin and all chashivas belongs to Klal Yisrael be'etzim. Belongs to the Jewish people. But achshav avinu sein harabim, that because of our sins, and primarily a neglect of Torah in a certain way of learning Torah that we're going to learn through this Torah, the chayin and the chashivas amiti shel Yisrael nofal into a place of sheker hachayin. And sheker hachayin means that it seems in the eyes of the world, and even in the eyes of many Jews, that what? That the most choshev thing is not Torah. The most choshev thing is not... You see, people, if somebody says, my son was accepted to Yale. He's going to be going to Yale, to Harvard. Wow, it's a chayin and there's a chashivas. Somebody tells you, no, my kid was turned away from Harvard, and they didn't accept him in Yale, but he's going to be learning in the Mir. So then people look at that father like it's Rachmanis, Your kid was turned away from Harvard and Yale, so they took him to the Mir. No, the Mir has almost 4,000 guys in here, So tell me, Yale has like 40,000 guys. It's not a question of numbers. is the chen and the chashivas of Yisrael that's fallen into that the biggest chen in the world is that there's a boy that's going to learn Torah. And he has to argue with his parents, because in his parents' eyes, the chen and the chashivas is not the same chen and chashivas that would be if he went to Harvard or Yale. Not to say that, and I'm not saying anything bad about going to Harvard or Yale to make a living. Or at least I'm not saying it publicly. but the chen and the chashivas of Torah has fallen. And this is manifested in a million ways. So even Jews, not just that in the eyes of the world that the Jewish people are not looked up to, and the Jewish people are not admired, but we're despised. And all the chen of the Jewish people, the chashivas, has fallen from us. But even Jews themselves, that they see the other side as being bachent, they'll see the world of tum as having a chen. So how do we get out of that? How do we get our chen back? So Ibn Achman says that Chazal taught us, Ayelas ahavim v'yalas chen, shemala chen alim deha. The Torah has this koch of being ma'ala v'chein. Torah has the ability to be ma'ala chein. Now let's be careful with Rabbi Nachman's words. Again, I told you we could spend many, many years just on this first Torah, and we have to try to move it, at least it's, to try to move to finish the Torah in a few weeks. To be ma'ala chein means that the chein is already there. It's not the same thing. We were learning about this morning, when we were learning a maimer from the Bala Tanya this morning. The Tanya says, Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh, that means that a person shouldn't think that he doesn't have any chen. A person has to understand that a Jew is mamish filled with chen. A Jew is filled with chen. The problem is he has to be mal of the chen. Every one of us, to be ma'ala chen means that you don't have to create that chen within yourself. And it's not that the Torah creates the chen within a Jew. It's be'emes, the chen is completely there. The person be'etzim is in his teva and his shayrish as a Jew, that he's filled with chen. The problem is, however, that the chen has fallen. It means that the chen is covered. And as a result of that, the chen has slipped into enemy territory, into enemy hands. But the mitzvah is that a Jewish person has this chen within him is because Hashem said about us, Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. We said that a child is bachen, and that the Jewish people are Hashem's Baruch's children. And as we learn that chen is m'loshen of chinam, and chinam means it's something which is l'malam itam v'das. The chen of a Jew is not something that you have to create. It's not something that's foreign to you. Chen is a loshen of chinam, because chinam means it bets him, it's already there. That's who you are. That's the mahus of a Jew. Arke dekach, that even though when we were crossing by the Yamsuf, so the angel said, why should the Jewish people be treated any better than the Goyim? Halalu oivdei v'adazar, halalu oivdei v'adazar. As everybody knows, as Chazal say, that the Malachim said, the Jews are also idol worshippers. So why is it that the Jews are being rescued in the most dramatic way, and that the Egyptians are being drowned? Halalu oivdei v'adazar, halalu oivdei v'adazar. And would a person say, why is it that you could look at a group, there could be 100 children that are playing in the playground, right? 100 children in the playground playing, and there's one child that stands out. And it's amazing, because no matter what playground your kid is in, it's always him, it's always her, right? And when your eyes look at all the children, you say, oh, they're all beautiful. The Yiddish kinder, the Jewish children are all beautiful. But there's one in particular. That's bachent, you know. And I always think of this. And especially had this last week. I was with the kids in the house, and as they were all playing, and Baruch Hashem, the grandchildren were having a good time. And then I had to go somewhere. I was gone from the house for maybe 10 minutes, and by a mazel, while I was driving, so I had my daughter Chumi was going with Shifi with the grandchildren in a stroller. You know, whatever that wagon. It's a big stroller. So I saw the kids, and I pulled over the car. You know, I was so excited to see them. And they looked so beautiful to me. And I was thinking, I was just with them for 2 hours in the house. You know, and they looked beautiful, but I wasn't really paying much attention to it. I was just like on the phone and doing stuff around the house, what I had to do. But then when I wasn't expecting to see them, and I saw them walking like three blocks away from the house, I had to stop the car because it took my breath away to see my children just walking in the street, and I didn't expect them. How beautiful, how much chayin, right? When you don't expect to see that from them, you see the chayin from your children, wherever they are. And that's because even if you say halolo ayvdei avadazor, haloli ayvdei avadazor, what the Malachim said, why should the Jewish people be treated any different? But the emes is that this chayin that a Jew has is be'etzim because he's the Baruch Shalom's child. It's the Baruch Shalom's child. But the problem is, what Rabbi Nachum is talking about here, is that because b'avanaseinu harabim, that this chayin in the chashivas is being covered. And when it's being covered, it means that there's this horrible distortion that's taking place in the world. That in the eyes of the world, the Jewish people don't have chayin, just the opposite. Whatever we do, the world criticizes, and whatever we do, the world sees as being unattractive and unappealing and being disgusting. No matter what Jews do, it's disgusting. And we don't have to go into any arichas. If we had any doubts about that over the past few years, those doubts have been certainly resolved and cleared up, that no matter what Jews do, it doesn't have any chayin chashivas in the eyes of the world. And all these people that have no chayin chashivas, but in the eyes of the world. So, you know, you wonder, how's it possible that murderers have more chayin chashivas in the eyes of the world than Eden? How's it possible? Jews tried to build a wall in Eretz Yisrael to protect themselves from being killed. And in the eyes of the world, this is the most disgusting and loathsome thing that was ever built. A million other places do that. But when Jews do it, it's the most disgusting thing. And who are the ones that have chayin chashivas? Shachmonis, that people have to wait for an hour or 2 hours to wait at a roadblock, or that people have to walk extra and go and make hakafis to be able, so they can't take their 11-year-old kids and 13-year-old kids and smuggle in, you know, explosive and blow themselves up on a bus or on a street corner someplace in Eretz Yisrael. And in the eyes of the world, that vote that took place in the summer in Europe to vote against the wall. So what it means, ad kedei kach, does a Jew not have any chayin chashivas that the biggest murderers, the biggest roitzchim, the biggest terrorists have chayin chashivas? Arafat Yimach Shemai, he's buried the covered Malachim. And people are saying has spayed them over him. And that a person like that has chayin chashivas in the eyes of the world. And you look at this and you wonder, is the whole world crazy? And at the same time, no matter what takes place in Eretz Yisrael, no matter what a Jew does, it's disgusting, it's ugly mamish. In the eyes of the world, that there's such a nefilah to chayin chashivas. Now, even though that causes us much pain, how the world looks at us, it's also painful. But obviously, what's most painful and most important for us is how does the Baruch Shem look at us? And Rabbi Nachman teaches in this Torah that it's through Torah that natural inborn chayin of a Jewish child is nis'alev and nisroim leim. It comes to the surface. One of the results of that would be that it would have an effect upon the world as well, but that's not really the aside of what we're talking about here. The Zohar Kodesh says, and we've spoken about this many times, the Zohar says, Tlas dargin miskashim dabada, kutshibrichu v'raisiv Yisrael. The Zohar says that these three, kutshibrichu, Arise of Yisrael, Hashem, the Torah, and Yisrael are inseparable. And it means that the attachment, the kesher, that connection that a Jew has to the Baruch Shalom can only be through Torah. There's no other way. So through Torah, but again, we're going to learn now, we're going to begin in a minute to learn, what does that mean through the study of Torah? Is Rabbi Nachman only talking about a person who learns Gemara? Is he talking about studying Tanakh? What exactly is he referring to? What aspect of Limudat Torah? Of course, all Torah has this effect. But Rabbi Nachman is talking to every single Jew. He's not only talking to Tzaddikim, he's talking to every single Jewish man, every Jewish woman. That through Torah, somehow, that natural, healthy chayn that a Jew has as being Hashem Yisbarach's child is revealed, and only through Torah is it possible that we can really shine with that chayn, the way the Baruch Hashem created us. And once we have that chayn, like Rabbi Nachman says, like there's this kabbalah called Tefillas Bakashas, that whatever we ask for, the Baruch Hashem gives us. That whatever we ask for, He gives us, like a child making a request of a parent, making a request of a parent. So let's see. Ki ish ha-Yisraeli. Ki ish ha-Yisraeli tzorach tamer l'stakel b'haseichel shel kol dover. A Jew must always look and study and contemplate the seichel that's in every single thing. The inner intelligence. We'll see in a minute what that means. The seichel that's in everything. And to connect himself, to attach himself to the chachma, to the seichel that's in everything, to the intelligence, to the chachma, to the seichel that's in everything. So that, by attaching himself to the inner seichel in everything, then that seichel begins to shine, begins to illuminate. And he begins to understand, sheyesh b'chol, he says, by that he begins to see, through that seichel, sheyesh b'chol dover, l'skarev l'Hashem esbrach, edeyes ha'dover, he begins to understand how it's possible to get closer to Hashem through this thing, through this moment, through this thing that I'm, this person that I'm meeting, this moment in my life, this place in my life, has a seichel in it that's calling, the Baruch Hashem's calling to me from this moment, from this place, from this thing, from this person that I'm meeting. And that through this person or this place or this thing, Hashem is Baruch is showing me a way how to get closer to Him. Because this seichel, this inner intelligence, in everything, is a great and powerful light. And it shines for the person in all of his ways. As is written, Chachmas Adam Toyer Panav. The wisdom of a person shines on his face or shines before him. Let me explain. And every single thing that exists, whether it's on the level of daimim, whether it's something which is inanimate, like a rock or whatever, or it's a plant, a chai, an animal, a medaber, a human being, in every single thing of this world, and in every single event that happens every single day, bechlal, to the Jewish people, to the entire world, to befrat, to each individual person, on all levels of olam, in the physical world, of shon, and time of nefesh, and to each person. Anything that you or I, in the course of a day, of our lives, that we encounter, that we hear about, that we smell, that we think about, whatever it is that happens to us on that particular day, whatever a person goes through in his life, there is hidden, it's melubish, there is enclosed in that moment, in that thing that you, why you were in that place at that time. Why did you hear this thing at that time? Why did you meet this person at this time in your life? There is seichel and chachma. There is the seichel and chachma of Hashem Yisbarach. And the tachlis of your being in that place at that time and experiencing that or hearing that is that the Rebbeinu Shalom wants you to think, to be mizbayne, and to find somehow how Hashem is being meramis to you, how Hashem is hinting to you, a way of getting closer to Him. A way of getting closer to Him, ba'isay zman ba'isay mokam, at that time of your life, and in that place that you're in, according to the matzav of who you are at that time in your life, depending upon where you come from and how you were raised and so on and so forth. But the Baruch Hashem is being meramis to you, he's hinting to you through that experience that you're having at that time. And that really is what Chazal meant when it says in Sanhedrin, Chayv Adam Loimer Beshvili Nivha Olam, that a person is obligated to say that the world was created for me. It doesn't just mean that the world was created, that the planet Earth or the universe was created. It means that this world that I'm right now in this second of my life was created for me. And there's a reason why the Baruch Shalom is Meshadach me from all 6,000, from all the 5,775 years of creation, that the Baruch Shalom brought me to this particular time in this place to meet this person, to hear this word, to experience this Maisa. It's Bishvili Nivra, it was created for me. And it was created for me so that I would find in this moment of my life a Seichel, a deeper understanding, a deeper hint from Hashem of how to draw close to Him, of how to serve Him. And that's the meaning of Bereishis, Chazal saying, Rashi brings down at the beginning, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Bereishis, that the world was created for the sake of Yisrael. Bereishis, for the sake of the Jewish people, who are called the Bereishis, and Bishvil Torah, for the sake of the Torah. Because Rabbi Nachman says that Torah here doesn't only mean the study of Torah, it's what we were talking about a little bit this past Motzei Shabbos. It doesn't only mean studying from a text, which of course is Torah, it's unbelievable. Studying from the Sefer, which we learned Motzei Shabbos, and we're going to talk about this a lot through this Torah, and that's what Chanukah is all about also, is that the whole world is called the Sefer, like it says in Sefer Yetzirah. And the Baruch Shalom is the Sefer, and the world is telling a Sipur, is telling a story. The world is mamash a sefer. Every person that you meet, whatever you go through, there's a sipur, there's a story. And the sefer, the great scribe, is the Baruch Shalom, is the master of the world. And kol ma shabarak, ha-dash baruch hu l'bar l'chvaydai. And the meaning of that is that everything that you see in your life, everything that you go through, is only the Baruch Shalom is telling you, is showing you the, in a sefer, in that sefer which is not necessarily written with words, but in the sefer that you're living in. The Baruch Shalom is showing you how to serve Him and how to get closer to Him through that part of the Bria. Now the Tzaddikim are on a very, very great level, so they're able to mamish see the Oisius of the Aleph Beis. They're able to look around them and see the letters of the Aleph Beis. They see Torah mamish and everything. And they hear the Baskel of Hashem. They hear Hashem is calling to them through all of the events of their lives, which we spoke about many, many times. How even though now we don't have prophecy, we still have Baskel. And the Tzaddikim are able to hear the Baruch Shalom. What does the Baruch Shalom want for me at this moment? And that's what we spoke about last week, that the Tzaddikim are able to hear conversations between people. They're able to hear, as we spoke about the other day, we spoke about the Shabbos, that the Tzaddikim are able to hear, like Mordechai, when he asked the children what they were learning that day, and they said, we're learning Utsayt of a Sufa Dabad of Liakum. We're learning a Pasuk that says, the Pasuk says that even though our enemies conspire against us, Hashem will not allow it to happen. And Mordechai understood that the Baruch Shalom is telling me what? Not to worry that somehow it'll be okay. And that the Tzaddikim are able to see Oisius of the Aleph Beis and to hear Torah Mamish and everything. But Rabbi Nachman says that this is not only for Tzaddikim, it's not only for great, great Tzaddikim, but every single person on his Madrega is able to see the Seichel in each thing. And even a Poshiti, even a simple Jew, for instance, on the simplest level, we're not going to talk about details right now, we'll talk more later on, but on the simplest level, how many times it happens to us that something good happens, even a simple thing that's good. Like, you know how annoying it could be when one of the things that we used to do, remember when I was, there was a summer when I was working in Manhattan many, many years ago, before I was married, I was working in Manhattan, and we used to try to time it, that there were a couple of chevra from yeshiva that were working in this one place, And we mamish hated this work. It was horrible, horrible work. And being in the city, the whole thing was terrible. And we wanted to get home as quickly as possible. And we sort of had it figured out when we could get the train. We would run through the streets like Meshugoyim. We had it figured out when we would finish work, how to be able to get that train that was expected at a certain time. And you know, the worst thing is when you hear that rumbling and you hear that noise, and you know something's going on, and you figure it's your train, and you're still like huddling on top someplace in the Elyonim, and you can't get to the Sachtonim, and you don't know what to do, and then you run, then we would get, and you see it pulling out, you know. it's like a Kleinikai. What is this? 15 minutes, a half hour, whatever it is, but it's so disappointing. And then you have many, many times in life, when you come and it's just, and the train is just pulling up. Or something very simple and even silly happens in a good way. So I'm not talking about how the tzaddikim are able to understand exactly what that means and all the specific remuzim hints in that moment. But even regular, simple, silly people like us can stop that moment and say, "Ach, Rabbi Shalom, you're so good to me." I mean, it's the simplest thing. Instead of waiting, just like for Halal, you know, on Yom Tov, or Yishchaydish, or Chanukah. This simple thing, when a person has a little bit of hatzlocha at work, something worked out well. So at that moment, you could either slip into this Kaychiv Aitzim Yodi way of thinking, "Hi, I'm Gevaldik," and it becomes the whole ego thing, right? Or a person can just go on the side and nobody sees you, put your hand over your mouth and say, "Everybody, it's not me, it's you. And I want to thank you for this moment that you brought me close to you through this little wink at me in the darkness. You gave me a wink." Or chalila, if something bad happens. God forbid, even something which is not horrible, chalila, but it's something that's not so good. And a person goes through something unpleasant. So at that moment of unpleasantness, there are two things that could happen. One is that you're angry and you're bitter, and you say, "This is my whole life. It's just all these unfortunate things that happened to me." Or a person can stop after, God forbid, in an ace of sorrow, something that's not right, and a person can look at that, and instead of having the filas aruch, instead of chas v'shalom becoming depressed, the person can use that moment as a way of calling out to the Baruch Shalom and say to the Baruch Shalom, "No, Hashem is Baruch, if you're putting me through this, then show me, help me understand. What do you want me to do? You're telling me something I don't understand. Tell me, I don't understand what you're telling me. You're being meramis to me something. You're telling me that you want me to do something differently. And I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand what you're saying to me. Tell me in a way that I can understand." Like that mice that I told many times in shul, where the tzaddik from Alexander, when he died, was the last thing that he said. It was a pelum. The last thing he said before he died was that there was a poor Jewish couple, an elderly couple, that they lived in horrible poverty, and the Cossacks were making over there a terrible pogrom in that village. And they came to the place of this old couple, and they were shaking. They were so frightened. The Cossacks came, and the Cossacks asked in Russian. Now they weren't so fluent in Russian. Is there anybody here that speaks Russian tonight? Yeah. So they asked for the I don't know how to pronounce it, but the Chazavyan, who's the Balabas? Chazavyan, I don't know the word. There's a word like that, but I don't remember how to pronounce it. But it sounds like the word chazan. So they said, the Balabas thought that the Cossacks want to know if there's a chazan over here. So this Nebuch said, "This Altia starts to go, you know, starts to sing the Son of Taikif, you know." He thought they were looking for chazan. You never know. Maybe he's looking for chazan. It's crazy, but it could be. So he starts to sing, you know, "Kivah Karas Raya Adrei," and the Russian gives him a whack over the head, and he falls on the floor. This Altia, and he gets up. He's bleeding. So he figures he probably likes something, you know, maybe he wants something from Hakom Aminim. You know, he starts to sing like another niggin. And the guy says, "I'm asking for the chazan." He says, "A chazan, okay." He starts to sing, another niggin. And then he gives him a whack over the head. And the Alexander said, when he was lying, he said, this yid, when he was lying on the floor bleeding, he turns to his wife and he says, "I don't know, maybe it's a different niggin he wants. I don't know what niggin he wants. I don't know." And it was the last words that Alexander said before he was nifter, hafel fell. And then we can try to understand what that means when a yid goes through something in this world, and we're trying to say, "Rabbi Shalom, I don't understand you. I thought it was this niggin. It's not. Then tell me what niggin you want from me, and I'll sing it. I'm not sure what you want, but I'll sing it." When a person goes through an ace sar chalila, a difficult time in his life, so he could become very angry and bitter and turn away. Or it could be the time of greatest closeness to Hashem, to say to Rabbi Shalom, I'm not going to turn away from you. Adarabba, I want to be mizbainin somehow. Help me to understand how this is for my good. I believe inside of me that this is ultimately for my good. And the reason you're putting me through this is that I should learn what is it that you want from me. So instead of a person, God forbid, falling into despair. But he goes to an Eis Sarah and he strengthens himself to do tshuva and to try to find out, try to understand and to go seek out. What is it that I could do? What's the niggun that the Rebbe Shlomo wants in me? You could have, l'marshal, it's possible to have, one of the tzaddikim said like this, you could have six people, 1,000 people that sit down to learn a black Gemara. Any Rebbe that's ever taught Gemara knows that this happens all the time. You could sit down with a group of people and you could learn Gemara. And there's one there, let's say, that never ever learned any Gemara at all. And he takes the Gemara in front of him, and he doesn't even know, he never even saw a word of Hebrew or Aramaic in his life. He doesn't even know the alphabet. So what does a person like that feel like when he looks at the page of the Gemara? It's the same way that you or I would look like if you see Chinese, right? You look at the thing, the Mamish doesn't mean anything. So you'll have one person in the room that looks at the Gemara, and he sees a lot of squiggles and lines, he doesn't know what it is. And then you have a person, let's say that is on a higher madrega, and he already learned a little bit Aleph Beis, so he's all excited, like the children say, oh, that's an Aleph. He'll look at the Gemara and say, that's an Aleph, that's a Beis. Right? But that's it. He's still, what does it mean? I don't know. Then there's another person there that's learning there, and he already learned a little bit to put an Aleph Beis together. He says, oh, this says Abba, this is Ima. Right? So he looks at the Gemara, this is Abai, this is Rav. He could try to spell a couple of words, but he still doesn't chap what the Gemara is saying. Then you have somebody already that he learned more, and he's able to put together some of the words to make some sense, and it goes vital, 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 till you could have in the room a Rebbe Kiva Eger, you know, who's able to understand unbelievable things, Dov, Maven Dov, Mitach Dov, the deep, deepest secrets of this Gemara, the highest level. And it's like that with everything in the world. That means that even though all of the people are looking at exactly the same and exactly the same squiggles and lines, right, the same page, they're all looking at the exact same thing, but each one has a different way of looking at it and understanding it. What Rabbi Nachman is saying here is that you could have a million people looking at the same thing in the world. They're looking at the same thing. They're going through a similar time. But each one, depending upon whether that person is looking at the Seichel Shel B'chol Dover, and how deeply he looks at the Seichel Shel B'chol Dover, each person sees something else. A person who's very, very superficial, what he sees in that moment, of that experience, is not at all like the person who looks at life in a much deeper way, and is searching for the seichel shebechal dar, who's looking for the seichel, for the pnimius of that thing that he's experiencing. So Rabbi Nachman says over here that a yid has to look for the seichel shebechal dar. We're going to learn much more about what this means, and how this connects to Chanukah. Obviously, the whole chochmas yavan, the whole wisdom of Greece, is a chachma chitzainis, is external. And the chachmas hatayr, chachmas yisrael, means to look for the seichel shebechal davar. To try to see how is the Baruch Shalom being meramis to me in this thing to connect to him. Now Rabbi Nachman now explains that this is the difference between Yaakov and Esav. And look how he explains. V'zeh b'chinas Yaakov. Ki Yaakov zochel b'chayra. Yaakov was able to acquire the firstborn, the Bechayra. Ki Yaakov zoch lebechayra shehu reishis, which is the beginning. Shehu bechinas chachma, which is the wisdom, the seichel that's in everything, is its beginning, its underlying root and source. K'may shekosev, as it says in the pasuk, reishis chachma. The beginning of something is its chachma. In other words, when you dig down all the way deep to get to the bottom of something, that's called the Seichel Shebechal Dov. That's the beginning. That's the firstborn of everything. Everything has its firstborn. Everything has its beginning. Its underlying reason and cause. It's Nekuda that gives life to it. That where the Baruch Shalom is hidden. And the Baruch Shalom is meramis in that, what we're supposed to do. So he says, Yaakov Avinu was the Bechayr. And the Bechor is the Chachma, because Reishis Chachma. K'may Shekos, Reishis Chachma, Zeh Bechinas, V'yakveni Zeh Pa'amayim. So Esav said that his name is Yaakov, V'yakveni Zeh Pa'amayim. Which Esav was saying, the simple meaning of that is that he outsmarted me. Ve'akveni, he outsmarted me. I mean, the simple English will translate it as he blocked me or obstructed me. But if you look in the Targum, which is the Pnimius of the Lashon of Torah, Targum over there says, the Targum Unklus, v'chakmani. V'chakmani means that he outwitted me, he outsmarted me. Esav is looking for the external of something, and Yaakov is looking for the rachis of everything. The Bechor, the firstborn of everything, is Yaakov's. He's looking for the Torah inside of everything. The light that's going to be Meirid Derech to me, to tell me what to live and how to live. In the end, he's going to come back to this in a minute. Vayiv is Esav is a Bechor. Esav didn't want the firstborn. Esav wanted the end. He didn't want the firstborn. Yaakov looks for the firstborn in everything. He looks for the beginning. Ve'agveni zepamayim. The chakmani means to outsmart. The chakmani is to outsmart. Now everybody knows that the midah of Yaakov is emes. Tidan emes the Yaakov. And emes, everybody knows, Chazal tell us, Chois Meishel Kadosh Baruch Hu emes. It's hidden in the first words of creation, in the Reishis, Bereishis, Bara Lakim, the last three letters, Bereishis, Sof, Bara, Aleph, Elakim, Mem, is Emes, right? Bereishis, Bara Lakim, Chosim, HaShem, Baruch Hu, Emes. That the seal, the Chosim of Hashem, is Emes. And what is it about Emes, about Yaakov Avinu's teeth, name is Yaakov? The definition of Emes, as we always have learned throughout all the years, is Meresh Kol Dargin Ad Seif Kol Dargin. Emes always means that it's true from the beginning till the end, without any lapses. That's why it's Aleph Mem Sof, which we learned this many times. Aleph is the beginning of the Aleph Beis, Mem is the middle, and Sof means Emes is Mi'ir B'chol HaMadregis, Rosh Toich Seif, Meresh Kol Dargin Ad Seif Kol Dargin. That's what Emes means. Emes means it's true from the beginning till the end. It means from the highest Madrega to the lowest Madrega. Moshe Emes, the Teros Emes, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah is Emes. It means that it's the same halacha, whether you're a Godel Shebegdolim, the greatest Jew that ever lived, and you're held accountable for the same Shulchan Aruch, down to the tiniest little yid that's fallen, God forbid, into the lowest place. There's no such thing that he's not in the program. There's no such thing that he's potter. It's Meiresh Kol Dargin as Seif Kol Dargin. Because Hashem is Emes, Hashem Elokim Emes, and Hashem is Melubish in everything that exists, and Hashem doesn't, and that Metzias of Hashem does not distinguish between what's higher and what's lower, what's bigger, what's smaller, what's smarter and what's not smart, what's beautiful and what's ugly. Emes means from beginning till end. And David HaMelech says, Tilim Shlach Orcha V'Amitcha. And we'll talk about Chanukah. Shlach Orcha V'Amitcha. Hashem's light and Hashem's truth. He's sent into creation. Shlach Orcha V'Amitcha. And it means that the truth of Hashem's existence is in every single thing. There is nothing that doesn't have a lakus in it, that's not enlivened by the Rabbeinu Shalom's presence. And any time you see something in life and you don't see Hashem in it, it means that you're in the place of Sheker Achei. It means that something else is registering in your eyes and in your mind. The whole Indian, as we're going to talk about by Greece, by Yavan, was Hishchichu Einayim Shei Yisrael. Choshech is Yavan. Varis Haisa Tova V'Choshech is Greece, Yavan. And the darkness of Greece that brought a darkness to the eyes of the Jewish people was that instead of a Jew seeing the Emes, the truth, which is Shlach Orcha V'Amidcha, which is the Baruch Shalom's Metzias and everything, which is the Seichel Shebechol Davar, which is the firstborn, the Bechayrer, that's the firstborn, that's the Nekud of Yaakov, it was the Emes, which is inside of everything, where the Baruch Shalom is calling to us from every single thing in this world. The Inyan of Yavan, which is the Bechina of Ephes, of Esav, of Yavan, of Yaftal Akim Liyefes, is to look at things from the outside and not to see the Orev Hashem, the Emes. And that's Sheker HaChein. That's the danger of Sheker HaChein. That's what Chanukah is, the victory over Yavan. Chanukah is the victory of pach echad, which is the one, that one jar of oil which was munach bechayis mashal kohen gadol, that was sealed with the seal of the kohen gadol, which is chayis mashal kohen gadol, which is emes, which is untouchable, which is the emes inside of everything, and that's the chayin of Chanukah. The chen nechashivas, which is the seichel shebechol dover, which is the reishis, which is the bechayir, which is the firstborn, which is the baruch shalom being meramis to you, and that's why shemen will talk about that oil always means chachma. Like the Gemara says, if you see shemen zayis in a dream, yitzapa lechachma, yitzapa yishu, it means wisdom. The shemen means wisdom, but the wisdom that's hidden inside chayisum eskadosh baruch hu emes. And the avoid of a Jew in this world, the whole avoid of a Jew in this world, is to try to penetrate, to see beneath all the malbushim. That means the Beis HaMikdash was a mess. And there was tumah all over the place, and chorban all over the place. And the Yevonim made mamish a chorban over there. And the Chashmonoim, and the Tzaddikim, the Bnei Chashmonoi, were able to come there. And in that place, they were able to find a pach echad of shemen that's munach b'chayis b'shul kohen gadol mamish, that's sealed with the seal of the Baruch Shalom, was called the kohen gadol, kohen lekel elyon, the Baruch Shalom seal. And the inyan of emes means that a Jew is able to find the aluf shel olam, the aleph, even when he's a place that is asaf. That's the meaning of emes. You're able to find the Baruch Shalom is Aleph. The Baruch Shalom is the highest. He's the Aluf Shalom. He's the master of the world. When you're in Yerushalayim, you feel, oh, now I can see the Aluf Shalom. Right? Finally, I had to travel thousands of miles and spend every penny that I ever earned to be able to go to Yerushalayim and to find the Aluf Shalom. And emes means that even when a person's in the place that's saf, mamash saf, the last letter of the olive base, that means the bottom. That the aluf shalom is there too. Because emes is here and emes is there. Emes is that the aluf shalom is found in the highest place and the lowest place. That lowest place, which is malchus shalom malchus. In that lowest darg of this world, which is malchus shalom malchus, even the Olam HaKlipis, no matter how low you've fallen, and that's what Rabbi Nachman says, we'll see this story with Shem later on, that a Jew has to be Baki Bahalacha, Rabbi Nachman used to say, and it's in the Likut HaMeran, Baki Bahalacha doesn't mean that every Jew could be proficient and to know all Halacha and all Shulchan. Baki Bahalacha means that a Jew has to be Baki, has to have a Bekis in connecting to Hashem, whether he's in the highest place, in Esek Shemayim, Shamata. Even Baruch Hashem, I'm in the highest place, you're there, and you're calling to me to become even greater. And then what? Atziah Shaul, and God forbid, when I sink to the lowest place, Hineka, you're here also with me in this place. That's Emes, because Emes is everywhere. Mi Aleph Atzaf. Mi Aluf, that the Aluf Shal Olam is mislabish, is hidden and concealed and enclosed, even Malchus Shabbat Malchus, even the Olam HaKlipis, that a Jew is never ever far from the Baruch Hashem, ever. He's always with the Baruch Shalom. And that Bechina of Vayivosa Yaakov Levada that we spoke a little bit about, I was talking really Friday night when I was by some Chavayim, there was a Simcha, that the Inyan of Vayivosa Yaakov Levada, the Koyach that Yid has to be, even when he's Levado, to remain a Yaakov. Even when he's Levada. And the hardest thing in life is to be by yourself. It's the hardest thing in the world. Whenever I'm traveling someplace, I remember I had this feeling. I see my friend Binyamin list 2 years ago. I was in Des Moines, and I was thinking, what am I doing here? I'm not even sure how to spell it. and I was learning the Nesukah, because there were some tired, precious Jews that were here that wanted to learn a little bit, and I was going to meet with them in the airport. And I'm very, very rarely in my life. I've very rarely been anywhere where I'm not surrounded by Yidden. I hardly have. Where do I ever go? I don't go places where there aren't Jews. I'm not in any kind of a business that I would go with. My business is to find Jews, not to go away from them. So I was in this place, and on the airplane there wasn't one Jew. There wasn't one Jew. And I was starting to get very nervous. Not that I was afraid of anybody doing anything. They're all perfectly nice people. But, you know, it just wasn't my place. And I remember, so I got to the airport, and I, you know, And I was just waiting to see the first Jewish face, and I saw the chevra over there in the middle of this place. And I remember when we were landing, they said the temperature outside is zero, and that's like how I felt, zero, mamish, safe cold dying, zero. And I went into the airport and I said, just show me a yid, just a yid. That's how I felt. And when a person, even vayivosa Yaakov levada, even when a Jew, to be alone, to be without yid, to be without someone that loves you, is the hardest thing in the world. And vayivosa Yaakov levada means that the Bnei Shalom taught us forever, and it's the Indian of Chanukah also, because why was he alone? He went back to get the pachim ketanim. He left little containers, and we have a kabbalah from the kadmonim that was what the pachim ketanim. Rashi says we have a kabbalah. It's the pach shemen shel Chanukah. He went back to get the jar of oil for Chanukah. That's the pach that he left behind. And what happened over there? Vayivosa Yaakov levada. And when you're by yourself, you have all kinds of struggles. Vayavik ish imay adalei sashachar. But the yisayt hadavir is that a Jew is never alone. That even when you're levadai, it says if nizgav Hashem levadai b'yamahu, that the Baruch Shalom is always with you, and therefore Yaakov is never alone. It seems like you're alone, but you're not, because the koyach of Yaakov, what Rabbi Nachman is telling us here, is to be able to find Hashem's baruch mamish and everything. That's why he acquired the bechayra. Esav was not interested in the bechayra, in the firstborn. Esav is not interested. Esav is only interested in this world, in the externals of this world. Yaakov is looking for the firstborn of the world, and the pnimius, the firstborn of the world, is the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is the Baruch Shalom. And therefore, even when he's levado, he's blyped Yaakov. He's with the Baruch Shalom. He's never by himself. I will have to continue with him next week.